today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
If you ever get lonely, you just go to the record store.
Hey everybody, Patrick here. It's Friday morning.
No, is it Friday?
Yeah, it's Friday morning. And it's morning of day two of Suburbs Fest Midwest, and we are headed to a record hawking trip. Bob Peterson's at the wheel, Scott Parks riding shotgun, Tim Hoffman back here with me. Guys, how'd you think it went last night?
Thanks, Patrick. Boy, last night, a evening full of highlights, and just depending on who you're talking to, who was in attendance, you're going to hear a different different answer to, like, what was your highlight from the evening. But man, what an unforgettable evening. Such a good time. So thankful.
Yeah, live band karaoke. I think Tim said it best. It should be a national, what'd you say, Tim?
Initiative.
A national initiative. Live band karaoke should be at every bar in every city in every state in this entire country. It was awesome. Frank Muffin killed it.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to the birthday boy, David Lane. He was phenomenal. He showed his talent. He's got a great voice. And I hope it made his birthday worthwhile. But yeah, Frank Muffin rocked.
Those guys are unbelievable. I mean, just the ability to get up there. And I love before every song, it was like, what are we playing? There's no way we can. And then they kicked out a note perfect version of that. So, and also, I want to apologize to David Lane for calling him David Leedy at least twice last night. So I'm very sorry about that, sir.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it was me. We're having fun. So we're headed down to Wicker Park. Is that right, guys? Okay, cool. To go to a few record stores. Is there anything you guys have in your mind that's like, no matter what it costs, if I see this record, I will buy it?
Wow, that's a good question. I'm kind of on the hunt for not no matter how much it costs thing, but I'm looking to expand my collection just after hearing so much from others in the community about the Beths. I don't have any albums by them.
Oh, and fantastic.
I'd like to get some of their stuff.
Great.
And maybe the new Metric album I still don't have on.
Oh,
album.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Well, Bob played on his show a band called Tchotchke, and I think I'm going to look for that. And then I'm looking for the new Lee Baines, which comes out today, I think.
That's right.
So we'll see if they have any copies of that.
Carry us back, boy, if you wish to get holy man, some days feels now I see some cotton. So we can know and trust to build from whom all of our blessings flow. Let's go, he saints, base and mechanized kickings and doors, baptized troops. You've been in land and old souls from the priests and the suits. Towns of Calais and Tulsa, but it's a holy old town that moves down a mean, snaky road. Black rebels gripping microphones, fountain pens, AKs and canines. The barons hiding behind white hoods and red lines. It's the last of summer rabble holding blue waves and nines. Drums in the streets and swamps growing loud.
Looking for Eyelids. I've streamed one of their albums and I love it, but I think they got a few out, so I'll look for them, or just any neo soul like Coal Mine Records, Daptone Records, maybe the original Daptones record that recorded by Sharon Jones that one Patrick Foster spoke about. That sounded really good. So
cool. Very cool. I'm gonna shop by weight. I just want to make sure that when I leave, they have to give me a box. That's what I like when I go to the record store. Would you like a box? Then I know it's been a successful trip. It's funny, though. I recorded a little bit with Andy's son, Joe Dubuque, and we talked about the Jack White album, Fear of the Dawn. And he, after we got done, he pulled out a list on his phone. He was like, can I borrow this? Can I borrow this? Can I borrow this? One thing he wanted to borrow that I thought I had, but it turned out that I didn't, is either of the first two Pink Floyd albums with Syd Barrett. I don't have Saucer Full of Secrets or Piper at the Gates of Dawn on vinyl. So if I ever see those, that's one I will plunk down to buy. And it's funny because they haven't really been reissued all that much. There's been a few of them, but it's not like, you know, some records that got reissued over the years. I guess Pink Floyd kind of, I don't know if they wanted to distance themselves necessarily, but they just didn't. They sort of considered after Sid left a new fresh start for the band, kind of a different era. So that's cool. Yeah, that's something I'm really looking for. Record store wise, when you guys go into a record store, do you automatically head for, like, let's say Scott's looking for Lee Baines, do you automatically head for, like, go to the B section and look for Lee Baines? Or when you walk in the door, do you have an approach or a plan?
Usually I go directly to the new arrivals bin, especially if it's a store I've been to before. If it's a store I've never been to, usually my brain explodes, especially if it's a big one, and I don't know where to go, and I kind of wander around for about 5 minutes before I figure out what I'm going to do. But the new arrivals bin is always a great place to start, because you get all the new used that people haven't picked through yet, and I found some good stuff yesterday at Reckless, where we're going to go again today, in the new arrivals bin that probably wouldn't be there today had I not even gone there yesterday. So that's where I usually go.
Yeah, I mean, last time I was in Chicago last November, I went out to a couple record stores with Scott, and he mentioned that to me, and I'm like, that's so smart. I think that's my new MO when I go into a record store. Hit the new arrivals bin, see if there's anything out of the ordinary in there or just unusual, and then maybe head to, I always try to walk in the door with a couple names in mind, and just, I'll write them on my hand if I have to.
Yeah.
It's like, man, whatever I do when I walk out, I'm going to check for this and that.
Yeah.
Have that, and because I'm kind of the same way, like going to the bookstore, suddenly I don't know what I want to read. And so sometimes it's kind of like sensory overload, just so many choices, don't know what to get. But yep, yeah, put a couple names on my hand and try to walk out with something from them.
Beautiful. How about you, Bob?
I'm like Scott. If it's a new place like we're going today, I'm like a squirrel with ADD. I can't get focused. So what I usually do in a place like this where you have really knowledgeable record clerks, if they have a wall with staff picks, I kind of peruse that. And sometimes that focuses me in. And then, that's probably that's going to be the way I'll go about it today.
Okay, cool. I always look for the $1 bin. That's just the way I kind of do it. One or $3 bin. I guess $1 bins these days, I think, have kind of been denigrated to, you know, wow, this is split, or, you know, it's really scratchy or something like that. Or it's all those, you know, Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass albums that you see in the thrift shop or whatever. So I definitely like to look for the used stuff to start. But man, staff picks and new arrivals, especially if it's a store you've been to before, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I do, when I go to CD Cellar, my normal place, I do hit the new arrivals bin usually first, you know, to see what's come in. I got to ask you guys, what was the first record you bought with your own money since I've got you corralled? Your own money. It was funny when I asked Joe Dubuque that question about when he got into music, and he said, well, of my own free will, or when it was forced upon me. So when you had your own money, whether it was from allowance or, you know, mowing lawns or delivering papers.
It's hard for me to remember. I started with cassettes, so I know I had cassettes, and I probably didn't pay for them with my own money. So I'm going to go with the first CD I bought, because that's the only one that I can remember buying with my own money, and it was Guns N' Roses' Lies.
Nice.
It was my first CD. I had just gotten a CD player. I was 16, went to the mall. Went to probably Music Land and got Guns N' Roses Lies on CD.
Nice.
In Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Oh, I remember very well. It's probably 11 or 12 years old. Had money from, I don't know, mowing the lawn or whatever. And at the Kmart that was closest to where I grew up in Louisville, Ohio, I got a copy of Jim Croce's Life and Times.
Nice.
Yeah, which I still, and later after my records just kind of like went hither and yon as I got older and lost my collection, when I started to rebuild my vinyl collection, I made it a point, like, I got to find that get early that on. One, like, yeah. I got to get that one back right. in the collection, because that's where I started.
That's a tent pole you got to get back.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
We've been running away from something we both know. We've long run out of things to say, and I think I better go. So don't be getting excited when you hear that slamming door, 'cause there'll be one less set of footsteps on your floor in the morning. And we've been hiding from something that should have never gone this far, but after all, it's what we've done makes us what we are. And you've been talking in silence, but if it's silence you adore, but every one less set of footsteps on your floor in the morning, but every one less set of footsteps on your floor, one less man to walk in, one less pair of jeans upon your door.
How about you, Bob?
Well, I actually did already record my first music.
Did.
Yeah,
all
I
right.
did.
Stop
but,
talking.
No, actually, that was actually on cassette. So what I will give you is my first vinyl record, since we're talking about that. It was a year after I started buying cassettes. I got a turntables, and the first two albums I bought were Rush Signals.
Nice.
Because that had just come out, and the Yes album, because I like Starship Trooper, and
wow,
I still do. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yep.
Those are great purchases. I will tell you, it's extremely, well, I don't know, it's not embarrassing, but I think it's embarrassing to me because of what happened to the artist I bought. But the first one I bought, I remember this, Variety Records in Tyson's Corner Mall, walked up there, bought Billy Joel's The Stranger. I was very intrigued by the mask on the front. And it was, I don't know, I was talking to somebody last night, and they were talking about, I don't know, how we got onto the topic of education, and I was saying, like, yeah, I dropped out of three or four colleges, and my real education came from records. And I had got this Billy Joel, and a kid who lived in our apartment complex came over, and of course, you know, got to put on the album you just bought for him, and it played Only the Good Die Young, and he got real upset, and he said, that's a terrible song. And I'm like, what do you mean it's a terrible song? Like, well, why do you think that's terrible? He goes, don't you know what that's about? And I said, no, I don't know what it's about. I have no idea. I didn't know what Catholicism was. I didn't know any of that stuff. It was like a big eye-opener for me to be like, oh, my God, I didn't realize music could offend someone's, you know, personal sensibility. So it was like a very early lesson in like, better be careful, you know, and learn. So that was my first vinyl, and it got worse from there.
Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. If you Catholic girls start much too late, all sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built two temples and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price that you pay, the things that you might have done. Only the good die young.
All right, guys. Anything else?
I'm just looking forward to day two with Frank Muffin performing tonight. And boy, I want to say thanks to them again. Like, they put on a great show last night as like the house band for this live band karaoke. And to imagine that they've got 3.5 hours of like other material to play tonight without any repeats is a testament to like their skills and talent.
Yeah, I just can't wait. And then to, you know, you'll be hearing this after the fact, but Patrick and I are doing a live radio show today at 1 o'clock, so that's going to be a blast. So hope you guys tuned in, since again we're in the future now, and but yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Frank Muffin. Last night was the first time I've actually seen them play, and looking forward to their full show tonight. So.
Well, I look forward to spending more time with all the Rock in the Suburbs community. It's good to get to know them. And believe me, they are all for real. They are not putting on a show, you guys. They're all really decent. And I think they would have my back when I need to post bail today.
Let's hope that goes both ways.
Yeah.
I will say, though, two things happened at the live band karaoke last night that I'd never seen before at any sort of open mic or karaoke event. One was someone going up to the band that was playing and asking to play one of their original songs, Scott Parks did. And then a guy who played the drums going up and asking for a song. I've never seen a drummer come to like an open mic or a karaoke and actually want to play a drum song and request the band to sing it. So, because most people want to get up and sing. That's right. He brought his own drumstick. That was great. That was great. Well, thank you guys. We will keep you guys posted, and appreciate you guys taking a minute to talk to us here on Rockin' the Suburbs. We will talk to you guys soon.
You don't have to buy me a drink, but you can. All right? There's no law against it in Illinois.